Welcome to another episode of Spiritually Powered Horsemanship, where Cindy and Laura, two very different women from two very different backgrounds, share how they are alchemizing hearts and horses for a deeper connection with life. One of our deepest intentions on this podcast is to keep it real, because in our horsemanship journeys, there's no black and white, nothing is for sure, and anything can change at a given moment. So in that, we're always going to share with you our intention for an episode, but Cindy and I are pretty good at calling each other forward and exploring something out of left field when we see that that person needs that support, and we're going to take you along on that journey. So if it happens and we take a right turn and end up somewhere else, we trust that it was meant to be. As you listen to this episode, if you're finding yourself having an aha, a new awareness, or just really enjoying the conversation, please leave us a 5-star review on wherever you're listening to us. This is the best thing that you can do to help us get this podcast into the ears of more passionate horse people. Today, we're talking about life lessons with our horses. Horses have an incredible ability to point us toward something in our lives that we need to look at in a way that doesn't always feel fun in the moment. And these are incredible opportunities when we see this in our horse, when we develop the ability to recognize a life lesson coming through the horse. Every one of them is an incredible opportunity. And Cindy and I have had many of these, and we're going to share some of them with you today. And we're also going to talk about how we recognize when a horse is teaching us a life lesson and what we do with that. So welcome.
Welcome, everybody. Life lessons. There are opportunities everywhere, aren't there, Laura?
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm curious. I'm going to put this in your court.
Great.
What is one of the first lessons you remember learning when you got into horses?
Ooh. I don't think I would have been able to tell you this for many years. I didn't know what I was doing. But it was learning to hold space for myself and my horse when we were in fear. So not rushing through it, not bypassing it, but being with it without making it worse, but not necessarily without pressure to make it better. Just the acknowledgement of, okay, we're scared. We're in this together. We've got this. You know, that's what it was. It was this energy of, we're scared, but we've got this. And that holding of space was huge for me because I was at the time navigating a very math-heavy graduate program that I was not qualified to be in, and in so much fear every day about how the fact that I was failing in my life, and DT, who didn't know how to be a horse outside of his 60-acre pasture, and anytime you took him out of that, he was instantly in total fear. And we were learning how to navigate our up-leveling of our lives that was very scary. And being okay with the fact that it was very scary.
Wow.
Yeah. And just you know, there was no, oh, you silly dum-dum for being scared. It was, okay, you're scared. I've got you. Can we take one step together? Whew, we did it. Okay, Now can we take another step together? And it was that beingness and mutual support that allowed me to learn that holding space when you're not okay is step one.
Nice.
What about you? What was your first?
My first one that I can really remember was having permission to try and not being punished or ridiculed or belittled if I didn't get it right. So, you know, in that, when I'm reflecting back, that was the little Skagit pony that I was the first one that I had ever been around. He, you know, he held the space and he let me find my way through how to engage with him and communicate with him. And I didn't get in trouble for it. If I was wrong, he would just kind of like not do what I was expecting or make it a little bit harder to try and achieve what I was trying to achieve. But he never judged me. He never turned his back on me. He was never mean, you know? I mean, I was raised in a place where I was like really punished. And so he never did that. So he brought me out of my shell. He gave me permission to not know, but try anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So that was huge. That pony taught me so much, but I think that very first lesson was, let's see what you got.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's huge. This concept of learning a life lesson from your horse, it really allows you to approach when things aren't going how you want them to from a more empowered place. So we're trained so much in a traditional lesson or training environment, or even just the mindset that the majority of people go into a ride with their horse is to focus on the animal and the expectations that we have for that animal and what we're going to do to make sure that that animal meets our expectations. When in reality, all the animal's ever doing is responding to us. And so when the expectation isn't getting met, if we can turn around, and Cindy just laid out this beautiful list of questions for you to ask yourself as we were talking about planning this episode, and I wrote it down, so I'm gonna read them to you. What did the horse do today? How well did I do? So those two questions right there are, in what you received from your horse, how well did you do in asking for it? How well did you do in setting it up? How well did you do in staying out of your horse's way? With that information, what did I learn? And what challenged me?
That set of questions, excuse me, those are wonderful self-reflective questions that if you asked yourself that after every experience you had with your horse, you would grow leaps and bounds in not only self-development, but in your partnership and relationship with that horse. Because you're absolutely right. Horses, at any given moment, are doing the best they can with the information we've given them. But so many traditional programs teach you that the horse did it wrong.
Yeah.
Get after him, get after him, get after him. Where Laura and I are like, all right, I'm the leader. I've learned, that's another life lesson, is leadership from horses. I'm the leader. So if my partner is not doing what I'm asking them to do, how am I asking, is there a better way to ask it? And here's one that I had to learn. And I think the Wild Mustangs taught me this one, Laura. It's on that, okay, I am trying to convince this Wild Mustang that I'm a leader worthy of being trusted, right? And they don't know how to communicate, right? They've not been raised as a baby in Humansville. So they don't, we are like, I'm from America and they're from Japan. We have to try to figure out how to communicate. And they really taught me to think about what is it that I want? And how do I ask it in a way that they can understand? And I see this in a lot of the women I work with, is that if we don't have somewhat of an idea in our mind of what it's supposed to look like, when we ask for it, if we're not really sure what it's going to look like, how do we know if the horse has done it right or not? So having that clear understanding of what it's supposed to look like before I ask.
Yeah.
And then accepting every little try instead of like, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Nope. You know, it's like, yes. Okay. How can I ask that even better?
Yeah.
So I think that would be, you know, I think there's two lessons in there, having a plan and understanding what it is you're asking for and what does it look like. It doesn't have to be perfect, just has to look in that direction. And the other one is accountability. It's so easy. And believe you me, I've had horses since I was 11, and that's a lot of years. I spent a lot of time blaming the horse.
Yep.
This stupid horse doesn't know what it's doing. But, and this is, goes everywhere in my life. When I learned to start taking accountability for my part in the equation, it was a huge responsibility and so empowering at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I have to be accountable, then I need to fix what I'm doing. And if I can fix what I'm doing, then they're gonna understand. And how empowering is that?
Hugely empowering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is bringing up something that actually happened with MJ last week that I want to share is I just was walking her out in the round pen because I was being lazy and I didn't want to walk a mile and a half. So I was standing still. Having her walk around me because my feet hurt because I'm a big pregnant lady. But all of a sudden, I couldn't get her to turn one direction. I don't know, dyslexia will never have me remember which direction that it was, but she didn't want to turn. And so I took that accountability and that radical responsibility. And clearly I'm not asking clear enough because I'm standing here in my lazy, uncomfortable mindset of wanting to get this over with. So I got right with it. I got right with the energy. And I was certain that she was going to flow into a beautiful pivot and turn and go the other way. And she didn't. And when she didn't, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that it had nothing to do with the communication and the training. And so I flipped into my, where's the energy happening here? Why are we stuck? Mode. And I realized she was guarding her whole side didn't want to give it up. There was an energetic block. And so I threw out movement, I threw out horsemanship, and I went into energy worker mode. And she brought me right up to a crick in her neck. And we worked that sucker out. And before you knew it, she was making beautiful turns in both directions like nothing had ever happened. But the ability to take the accountability, get right with myself, and then be like, okay, it still didn't work. There was no questioning of, does this horse need to be trained more? Or do I need to do it right more? Because we've practiced that a lot, and it's not something that we're teaching. Mm-hmm. But the confidence there allowed me to give her what she needed.
Right.
Which is a huge life lesson in listening to the horse while taking radical responsibility of the accountability.
And I think that has to do with part of that spiritual concept that we're bringing into our horsemanship, you know, because we look at the physical, is the horse doing what I want them to do physically? And if not, is it because they mentally don't understand, or they're just having a bad day, or they don't want to? And we go into our head.
Yeah.
And we start asking all these questions like you did.
Yeah.
And when you answered all those questions very clearly and still didn't have the solution, you are always open in your heart, which is where your intuition, that spiritually connected you, part of you connected to her. I call it the essence of each other. And your intuition, you dropped into your heart and you're like, this has nothing to do with the task.
Yeah.
This has everything to do with how she's feeling. And I love that lesson. And it's a huge one. I hope that everybody can maybe even listen to this a couple times. It's that big. Is that we, with that beautiful frontal lobe we have, we want to intellectualize it. We want to think about it. We want to solve the problem mentally. But sometimes, especially with horses, but in a lot of other situations in life, that's not where the answer resides.
Yeah. It's
being able to drop down into your body, down into that power center, into your heart, that intuitive spot. I'm going to go off a little bit right here, so follow me. We have our head brain, our heart brain, and our gut brain. And horses, I'm going to say they do too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And yeah. So you went into your head brain and you checked off all the lists and nope, that's not fitting it. Then you went to your gut and you're like, my gut says it's not in the training. It's not in the maneuver. Mm-hmm. And then you went to your heart brain and your heart brain said, hold you energetically to scanner, checker, feeler, and boom, you found it. So.
Well, and I think there's a certain amount of her heart was reaching out saying, I'm not in resistance to you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be naughty. I feel the need to guard this side of my body. And my heart picked up her heart and went, oh, we got this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that what we just talked about right there is the number one, hands down, biggest life lesson horses have taught me is the tapping in to the energetic realm, because they live in it. They live in it every day. They see it, they read it, they feel it. And if we aren't tapping into the energetic realm of our horses, we're only experiencing 10% of what horsemanship has to offer.
Yeah.
But if we're not tapping into the energetic realm of going on a walk outside, or working in the garden, or connecting with our loved ones, we're only tapping into 10% of what life has to offer.
Yep.
And horses have taught me how to do that.
Absolutely. They are they're masters at sensory awareness and they're masters at energy. That's why they can feel the atmospheric changes and they start acting up the day before we even know weather's coming, mm-hmm. because they're that attuned to it and they have their bubble. The wild ones taught me about their energetic bubble. I mean, I had been kind of playing with that a little bit before I started working with them in 2011, but their bubbles are so big.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not conscious of your bubble, which if this is new to all of you guys, your bubble is that energy field around you. And if you spread your arms straight out, that's the width of your bubble. So that's the width up and around you, all the way around you and down. That's the bubble. Well, the horse's bubble, not a Mustang, but a horse's bubble, is the length of their body all the way around them. So if you took your horse and put the same length of your horse, the nose to the tail, that's the full length of your horse. And then you draw a circle around your horse, that horse length, that's the size of their bubble. So we're always in their bubble. And here's a fun thing to play with if you're just learning about the bubble. So when you have your horse like in their pen or tied up or in a round pen, it's better if they're not tied up. If you have them loose, and it doesn't matter if they see you coming or not, what you're paying attention to is they may see you walking towards them, but when do they let you know that you've hit their bubble? And you'll see it. Their ear will turn or they'll turn. They might even take a step away from you, depending on how you're coming in, you know, with your energy. Are you like very focused? So play with your horse's bubble and see if you can recognize them telling you, you are now in my bubble.
Mm-hmm.
As a fun thing to do. We do that in a lot of workshops.
Yeah, that's bringing up another life lesson for me.
Okay.
MJ, a big one for MJ has been, it's not always about you. Because she's a very herd-minded creature. And the way I enter her bubble, like sometimes she's excited to see me. She enters my bubble and I enter hers. And we merge and go on. Sometimes there's something going on in the herd that to her is more important than my arrival. And she's like, dude, I'm busy. Get out of here. And I used to take that really personally as in, oh my God, my horse doesn't like me. I've been pushing her too hard. I've been, you know, she's like, I made it all about me. If she turned and walked away when I entered her bubble. And there has definitely been times in our relationship when it was about me. When typically if I am trying to work on my riding and I'm drilling too much in the arena and she's getting tired of being the practice pony, I'll get that. And that's fair. But there's other times when maybe a new horse has been introduced to the pasture while I was away. And she's making sure everybody's sorting out how she wants to. So she's not particularly interested. And that has nothing to do with me. And it doesn't do me any good to get all, oh, boo-hoo, my horse doesn't like me. And then pull her out and have a session from that place. She's just like, oh my God.
So then what do you do?
There's a moment of radical acceptance. Of like, okay. I see what's going on there. There's never been a time when I haven't actually gotten her out. The ones that made me the maddest is Big Mac is this huge Frisian thoroughbred cross that grew up in the pasture with her. And they had a summer of wild love. And he was pretty untrained. And they were on the 5 acres and he would run away from his mom. Like, just she'd have to do the 5 acres 4 times before she got him. And he got it in his head. If he did 4 fast turns around MJ and took off, he could get her to go with him when I showed up. And I was pissed. Oh, I was so pissed every time. And I mean, she's like, it's not about you. This big, beautiful man is running circles around me, Mom. I gotta go. And, you know, there's never been a time when I haven't caught my horse. But it's a heck of a lot easier to stop and take a deep breath and go, I see what's going on here. And you're still coming with me.
Right.
Than it is to get all bottled up and pissed and start running after her. Like,
so that's the, it's not about me. However, I'm here now. I'm the leader. And we're going to go.
Yes. And, you know, there's multiple ways of how you can choose for this to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But you will come with me. But you will be unfair. And there are moments when I have been unfair on my horse because I was making it about me and I was mad. There's never been a moment when I've been unfair when I took a step back and said, oh, you're just being a horse.
Right.
You're being your extra social self. And I'm going to work with that because it's not about me. When you emotionally separate yourself from what's in front of you, you will never be unfair to your horse.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're deliberately being mean to your horse or antagonizing your horse, very rarely is what they do about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just like to make it about us.
About us.
I don't know why that is. Maybe it's a insecurity. Maybe it's, I mean, because there's been certainly times I've made it about me.
Yeah.
You know? And in hindsight, when I go back and sit and reflect on the day, I realize, you know, no, that had nothing to do with me except my wanting to make it about me, wanting to take it personally. So I think
it's an interesting conversation because we just talked about how we're going to take responsibility for everything.
Right.
But it's not about you.
Right.
And that's a complicated duality.
Mm-hmm.
But one that you can learn to hold. I am responsible for catching my horse and making sure that I can do that every time I go out there. But it's not about me if she doesn't want to. But I will still catch her.
Right. How can you make yourself more desirable?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an interesting. We have laid out a pretty fun duality right there. And we would love for you guys to think about that and share what you come up with around that. Because nothing is black or white in life. Nothing is either or. It can oscillate back into either or, but then again, it's still not either or, right? It's dancing between the two. But when we take it personally, then our emotions get flared.
Yep.
And when we get our emotions flared, we are activating, this gets deep, we're triggering our nervous system. And that will kind of skew our ability to think clearly.
Yeah.
So it's this spiral kind of thing that happens that horses, but you know, right in there is a huge lesson, right? Because we've gone from taking accountability to my horse's choices are not about me.
Mm-hmm.
To if I take it emotionally and personally, it now has become about me
in a very unproductive way.
And now I have to take accountability for my emotions and my energy and where I'm going.
Yeah.
before I can look at my horse and say, hey, here's the deal. We're going to do this together today. So that's it. That was kind of a fun little path we just weaved down.
Well, and I think something that you can take away from this is I can take responsibility for something without making it personally about me.
Yes.
And when I do that, I am in my most spiritually empowered place to move forward.
Yep. And that comes to our breathing and being grounded and choosing to be in that present moment. And that's another thing that horses has taught. I think we can both agree on this. Horses have taught me to be in the present moment.
Yeah.
And when I find myself spiraling mentally or emotionally, and that's not in the present moment, that's usually triggering something that happened before and I don't want it to happen today. Or I saw something like this happen to somebody else and now it's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Or if I do this wrong, then we're going to do it every time moving forward. So see how the mind starts to spiral and you are anything but in the present moment. And remembering to go, I just need to breathe.
Yeah.
I just need to stop and take four deep belly breaths. Remember, I hope you guys, if you've been listening since episode one, I hope you've been practicing those deep belly breaths.
Yep.
Because they will pay you dividends when you're working with horses. That is your magic bullet. One of them is to breathe deeply. It puts you, bam. I had a spiritual teacher share this with me, Laura, years ago. Is when your mind is going places you don't want it to go. The way to get it to stop is to focus on your breath. Focus on filling your lungs up, holding it for a count of four, and then fully letting your breath out, because your mind can't be going blah, 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 and be focusing on your breath. So that puts you right in the present moment. And I'm going to say that if you want to prove this to be true, get into your pen with your horse and just be busy. Like, I got to go. I got to hurry up. We got to get there. Come on. We're going to do this. And we can all put ourselves there. That's super easy.
Yeah.
Just remember the last time you were late.
Yeah.
And you'll get there in no time at all. And then do that for a while. And then watch your horse. You don't even have to be touching your horse. Just busy gathering things. And then stop and take four deep, deep belly breaths calmly and watch your horse literally turn and get curious about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Prove it to be true for yourselves.
Yep.
I think we could go on forever with lessons, but I have one. I mean, I could tell you all the lessons Mustangs taught me. We'd be here for days. But the one that I really want to share is I was managing a herd of 130 and we had just put a freshly cut stallion out with all of them. And we thought we had waited. We tried to wait 30 days to let all that testosterone get out of their system. And it was 30 days. And we turned him out and he went out like a freaking banshee and just started chaos everywhere. And he went after the one horse who was the most stallion-like because he was a crypt orchid. So we didn't know he still had a testicle.
Yeah.
And he was going to kill him. He was literally going to kill him. And we were on 250 acres and there was five of us and 130 horses and a bunch of babies. And when I watched him attacking this Apache, who happens to live in my backyard now, was the one being attacked. I watched this other stallion very calculated going after the parts of this horse that would maim him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that happening, I always carried, if any of you guys know the training stick and the string, I always carry a spare string in my back pocket. So if there's a loose horse, somebody's tack breaks, whatever, I can't tell you how many different times and different ways I've used a string.
Oh, that is like the sophisticated version of a piece of baling twine.
Exactly.
Like,
Horsemanship trainers carry strings in their pocket, not baling twine. So I have nothing but my string. All right. And these horses are going at it. And I whip out, and my girlfriend has this on video. I whip out my string and I start going, charging towards the middle of them. I'm going to go right in the middle of them. And I'm swinging my string as fast and furious as I can. And I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. And at one moment, they stopped fighting. Apache went to turn and run, and that stallion faced me up. And there was a come to Jesus moment where I realized there's no way I can back down.
Yeah.
I have chose this battle and I have to come in. And I knew enough at that point about Mustangs, wild Mustangs, that all you have to do is get really loud and really psycho.
Yeah.
So I unleashed my loud psycho for 4 seconds, and that horse literally rocked back, eyes huge, turned around and ran. So it was in that moment that I realized when you make a decision, you have to stay committed.
Yeah.
No matter how oh shit moments you have, or how scared you are in that moment, when you have chosen, you're moving forward, you have to stay committed. And that has paid me dividends in a lot of areas in my life.
Yeah, huge.
Especially with the horses. And it doesn't have to be something that, I mean, that was life or death, literally.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that. It's like we're going to cross this water, this little tiny 3 foot stream. We're crossing. So once you make that decision and you ask your horse to do it, you have to stay committed to making it happen. And that brings up a whole bunch of other life lessons in there, right? The patience and the accountability and
Knowing when to push and when to set back and reevaluate and when to things.
I mean, I have literally gotten off and walked through the stream with them.
Right. Like, I guess we're both going swimming because that's the support you need right now. Yeah. So as we wrap up this episode, your challenge or your takeaway is, what lesson is your horse teaching you right now? Take that perspective into the next time you're with your horse. Keep all your senses open, your heart, your gut, your intuitive mind, and just see what filters in.
And remember that every moment is a moment of is a teaching moment, an opportunity to learn, if we're willing to have our eyes and our heart open to what is this teaching me?
Yeah.
Good or bad, you know?
Yeah, remove the unattachment to the good or bad. Just,
Like, boy, that was a day. Not
yeah.
how I expected it to go, but wow, what did I learn? And then other days, like, oh my God, that was the best day ever.
Yeah.
What did I learn from that? What made that the best day ever? You
Yeah.
know, we always go, oh, my horse was so good. But then that's the opportunity to go, wow, if my horse was so good, that means I must have been pretty damn good myself.
Yeah.
What did I do right today?
Yeah. You know, there's such a simple illustration of this, the Equilab app.
Oh, yes.
You ride and it has this, like, how did your ride go? And rider's performance and horse performance. If you ever have a smiley face for yourself and a frowny face for your horse, there's some reflection that needs to happen there.
There's days that your horse is going to be a shit.
Yes.
Just like there's days that you're going to be a shit.
Yes.
You
Yes.
know?
Yes.
But even if your horse is having a bad day, you know, Laura's right. You're gonna put that on that frowny face on your horse, but then you get to, before you put that happy face on yours, really do some honest
Introspection.
there you go. Thank you.
Yes.
And say, well, he was having a bad day, but did I help or hinder?
Yep. That's it right there.
Right?
Yeah.
Did I just blame it on him or did I widen back? Like Laura said, MJ says, today's not about you. You know? And so, I mean, there's been times that I've ridden Harry and we were going to close, but now I'm going into a story. There was a day not too long ago that I took Harry, my little Mustang buddy, and we went out for a ride. It was a trail ride lesson, and I was the teacher, and he was supposed to be my helper. And my client's horse was perfect. I mean, they were so spot on that day, which is not usual. There's usually, why is he doing this? But they were spot on. And thank God they were. Because Harry was not. He would stop and I would squeeze him forward and he would try to cow kick me with his hind foot. That's his new thing. When he's mad at me, he tries to kick me with his hind foot. And then he tried to, we were walking through a narrow gully, you know, where the water had washed out. We live in the desert and washed out, and we were walking in that trail. Well, he just decided he was going to sit down on the edge.
Why not when you're a noodle and you can?
And I'm in the saddle and I'm like, oh my God. You could tell he was just irritated and obstinate. And I started to get really mad at him and I was kind of frustrated. And I came home and I was telling my husband about it. And he's like, maybe Harry didn't feel good today.
Yeah.
And it was like light bulb moment. Oh,
Yeah.
I never once thought about that. I just thought he was being a butt.
Because I was in my professional, I need to provide a good experience for my client mind.
Yep. So yeah,
Yeah.
we're all trying
Yeah.
now, and some days we hit the mark and some days we don't, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As long as we stop and say, what's the lesson today? Thank you for tuning in to this episode on our podcast. I want to remind you that we'll be here every second and fourth Tuesday of the month following the golden rule. That's the plan, but we are always willing to be flexible. If you want to connect with either one of us, you can do so by finding me on Facebook, my Facebook group, Unbridled Reflections. And you can find Laura on Instagram. She's known as the Homestead Witch. The links to those contacts can be found in the show notes below.
Don't forget, if you learned something new today, had an aha, or walked away with a valuable nugget of awareness, you can say thanks by leaving us a review on whatever platform you're listening on.